involved with Syphilis Health Radio Show, and today we have the pleasure of interviewing Dr. Daniel Benor, who is a holistic psychiatrist and the author of 7 Minutes to Natural Pain Relief. Dr. Benor is a pioneer in energy psychology as well as spiritual healing, and we're real pleased to have him on the show today. Hello, Dr. Benor.
Hello, Dr. Kolb. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Great. Where are you calling in from?
I'm in Guelph, Ontario, an hour west of Toronto.
Okay, great, great. Well, I've been looking at your website, Holistic Healing Research, and there's extensive information here about all sorts of things. I guess we can start the interview with you telling us a little bit about how you discovered the entire field of holistic healing, energy medicine, and spiritual healing coming out of traditional psychiatric training.
I started in psychiatry
mm-hmm.
way back in the years when psychiatry was all psychotherapy
mm-hmm.
and virtually no medications. So my focus has always been on helping people to help themselves by understanding and by shifting their beliefs and their feelings. Through the years, I looked for the variety of ways that I could help people, because no one shoe fits all in psychotherapy. I came across relaxation and meditation and imagery, which all were really helpful to people, but I was rather skeptical about the complementary therapies and especially about healing. I thought healing was probably suggestion or placebo or denial of serious illness with wishful thinking, until in 1980 I observed a healer bringing about a physical change in a young man that was medically impossible. It was just a little thing. It was a lump under his nipple
mm-hmm.
that went from being very painful. It measured about 1 by 1.5 centimeters.
Mm-hmm.
It was rubbery firm, like an eraser, and it was more fixed and less mobile than I'd like to see in a lump like that, which
mm-hmm.
suggested that it might even be growing into the tissues.
Right.
And the healer did a laying on of hands healing, a Reiki healing,
mm-hmm.
over a period of half an hour, at the end of which the lump had shrunk by a centimeter,
mm-hmm.
it was soft, it was freely mobile,
mm-hmm.
and it was no longer tender. And that was a cure for my skepticism as well as for the little lump that this young man had.
Right.
So from that day in 1980, I have been researching energy medicine
mm-hmm.
and healing and moving into other aspects of mind-body awareness and spiritual awareness. And then I've been exploring how to integrate these with my psychotherapy.
Right. You have an extensive healing research volume.
I was so skeptical, Dr. Kolb, that I had to satisfy my left brain that
mm-hmm.
I wasn't still delusional or over-hopeful
mm-hmm.
about the amazing changes that could come about with these interventions. So I researched for myself
mm-hmm.
as many of the different energy therapies, homeopathy and
mm-hmm.
acupuncture and so on,
right.
as I could. Realizing that many of my colleagues were certainly at least as skeptical as I, if not more so.
And it really
and then I brought them together,
yeah.
all these research references and
mm-hmm.
discussions, into a series of books. The first one being on healing, as in therapeutic touch and Reiki,
mm-hmm.
and healing touch and Qigong and prayer. Finding 191 controlled studies of healing,
mm-hmm.
many of them being in non-human subjects.
Right.
which said that if mice and plants and bacteria could respond to healing, it's really, really unlikely that it's suggestion.
Exactly.
Unless there's something, of course, about mice and plants that I don't know about. And then I went on to write a book looking at self-healing.
Mm-hmm.
Because as a psychotherapist, I realized that almost all healings, medical interventions or complementary therapy interventions, involve an activation of the person's own healing mechanisms.
Mm-hmm.
So the second book looks at all the ways we can get ourselves in trouble psychologically,
mm-hmm,
and through our mind-body mechanisms. And then the other side, all the ways we can get ourselves out of those troubles, including having the help of many complementary therapists. And then the hardest book for me to approach was the third volume,
mm-hmm,
looking at spiritual dimensions in, mm-hmm, healing. I was really skeptical. I thought that God was a creation of people's wishful thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And when healers would tell me that it's not them doing it, it's God doing it, or Christ or Mary or, mm-hmm, Allah or whoever, I thought that, you know, okay, that's their belief system.
Right.
But then they'd tell me, no, it's not me, it's your grandmother, and she's standing right there next to you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have to tell you, as a psychiatrist, that really bothered me. And again, I went to the research literature,
mm-hmm,
and I was astounded to find research in apparitions, in ghosts, the most notable of which was published in the American Journal of Psychiatry, where they did a survey asking if people had had the sense that a person close to them who had passed on was still present after they had passed on.
Mm-hmm.
And I was astounded to see that 2 out of 3 people said yes.
Mm-hmm.
They either saw them or heard them or just had the sense that they were present. And the second question that really startled me was, they asked, did you ever tell anyone about it?
Mm-hmm.
And it was close to zero. People were afraid they were losing it. They were sure that,
right,
if they told someone else, you know, they'd be seen to be, you know, nutty or
mm-hmm,
you know, losing it. And in fact, several of them had told their physicians, who had promptly put them on medication because they thought that they were going psychotic.
Yeah.
And one of them had even been hospitalized by a psychiatrist.
It's a sad state of affairs when people, you know, discount other people's perceptual reality.
Yeah.
You know, we all have different organs of perception. I mean, I happen to have been born with spiritual sight and hearing, and I honestly didn't know that other people didn't have it. I mean, that's very common, you know. I saw angels, I saw other less appreciative things in the shadows, and I didn't think it was my imagination. I mean, I trusted what I saw, and it served me very well as a spiritual healer.
So many people who have these abilities have reported what you've said, Dr. Kolb, that
mm-hmm,
they just know it's real.
Well,
and
the information
in fact, they can communicate
in
with them, and they can obtain,
right,
information that's enormously helpful.
The information that comes in is so accurate, and there's no way that I could ever know this.
Yeah.
And it does involve energies that are no longer here. My father comes to tell me things that I need to know, and I'm certainly not. There's no way I can know the things that I'm told by spirits on the other side. But I'm not afraid. You know, I'm not afraid to speak what I hear. I don't have, you know, feelings of insecurity. I don't think that I'm not lovable. I don't have all of the things that many people have that lead to self-doubt.
Yes.
And I think we come to the planet here in order to follow our intuition. And on Life Review, we get to see how well we did it, because we get to look at all the choices that we made and what would have happened if we made different choices.
Yes.
And you know, everybody has different organs of perception.
Yes.
And, I mean, your dog can hear things you can't hear. Does that make your dog crazy when he responds to something you can't hear?
Of course.
Of course not, you know. I mean, so it has to do with biophysics. I've interviewed many, many physicists. I'm sure you know many of the people I've interviewed, Dr. Maku Chichu, Dr. Amit Goswami. I mean, basically all of the physicists from all the different realms of physics, superstring, quantum. And basically what we have is a system of biophysics. And, you know, I just feel sorry for physicians and other healthcare practitioners that live in a world without biophysics.
The way I'm
sad, you know, that they're stuck in chemistry. Chemistry has side effects. Look at the last, I mean, all the drugs. They're still taking things back off the market. You know,
yes.
One week they're advertising something on TV, and the next week it's off the market because it's killing people.
Yeah.
I mean, good Lord, we don't need to continue with chemistry medicine. It's not working.
the way I explain it, coming from the biophysics perspective and
mm-hmm.
quantum physics perspective,
mm-hmm.
is that Einstein's theory
mm-hmm.
has been pretty well confirmed and accepted when he said that matter and energy are two sides of the same thing.
Right.
Well, most people today, you know, even without a university education in physics,
mm-hmm.
are aware that the chair that they're sitting on is more space than energy.
Right.
But Newtonian medicine has been very slow to absorb that the body is no different from the chair.
Mm-hmm.
It can be addressed as matter, or it can be addressed as energy, depending on how you look at it. And then once you get into energy, then you're aware that spirit informs and enlivens and shapes the energy. Consciousness,
right. It does.
Is, as I have come to understand it, the first principle. So if we change our consciousness, we can change our bodies, our emotions, our mind, our relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And these are relationships that we could change with other people and with the environment. And we can change our relationships with the collective consciousness, which is an aspect that really fascinates me now. Because it feels to me, Dr. Cole, that humanity has a post-traumatic stress disorder on the collective consciousness level.
I think you're right. And I mean, look at the tremendous numbers of patients on antidepressants and Xanax, anti-anxiety medicine. I think everybody's having not everybody, but the vast majority of the population is experiencing severe psychological problems and post-traumatic stress symptoms such as panic attacks.
Well, I believe that this, you know, goes back many, many generations, because we carry in our, not just in our genes, but in
mm-hmm.
our energies and in our spirit, knowledge and information and awareness from other experiences of other people, of other lives.
Right.
And then if we've experienced trauma in past lives as a collective, and there's been so much murder and hatred and,
mm-hmm.
and anger and fear and just general mayhem in human experience, we're carrying all that trauma. And people who have been traumatized oftentimes will turn out to be abusers themselves.
Right, exactly. If they can't release the energy through spiritual means, then it's
yeah.
released through, I guess, life lessons. Two points. I think that the world is still very frightened of the concepts of clairvoyance and reincarnation. It was suggested to me that I needed to spend 3 weeks in a psychiatric facility because I believed in reincarnation and clairvoyance. And of course, I interview, you know, all of the leaders in spiritual and holistic medicine, and I've had the radio show for 12 years, so you can imagine all of the people that that I've come in contact with. And in fact, the Dalai Lama was supposed to stay at my house during the Olympics, but he ended up not coming over. So I have a vast network of spiritual, I guess, contacts out there. In biophysics, you understand that energy is neither destroyed nor created. So if you understand that concept, why do you think that anything but reincarnation could exist?
Yes.
I mean, you know, it comes down to a basic understanding of the physical world. You have to assume that energy, the spiritual energy that enlivens you, cannot just simply be extinguished at the moment of death.
Yes.
So therefore, there's great scientific information and validation of reincarnation.
Yes.
And in your book, you've done a fabulous job in 7 Minutes to Natural Pain Relief in speaking about the history of the science of reincarnation. I had interviewed Paul von Bord just a few months ago in his new book.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing his reincarnation experiments, of course. But basically, what my understanding is that when your spiritual vibration is increasing, which is really why we're here, is to let loose of past trauma and let loose of energy that no longer serves us, at some point during your spiritual development, energies will come up that came from past lives. I had a series of men that I met that on the second or third time that I interacted with them, a huge fear would come up in me as if they were going to kill me. And of course, they did kill me in previous lives, and then I came to find out that. But the fear that was coming up in me had no basis in this reality. There was no reason for me to be frightened of these people. Many of them were, you know, very well-known spiritual people that, you know, wouldn't think of killing anybody in this lifetime. But basically, what happened was that I was releasing the energy. It was time for me to release the energy, so it was arranged, I guess, on higher planes or whatever, for me to meet these people so that something in them would trigger something in me and the energy would be released. Of course, I recognized that it was a past life energy being released because the fear was so tremendous that there was no way that it was coming from this lifetime. And once it was released, then I was at a higher level where I could communicate better with the higher realms, and, you know, the spiritual sight and hearing would get even sharper. And so I believe that we have experiences in order to, I believe we're here for our spiritual development, to go through these experiences.
I absolutely agree with you. And you're so lucky that you're able to identify when you get an experience like
right.
that's a triggered, you know, memory from the past, and then you can clear it and not respond to the person
exactly
through
so,
the feelings that come
right.
from way back.
Right, and they even, I mean, when I was able to discuss it with them, they even had past life memories of killing me. I mean, you know, there were different circumstances, of course. I mean, some of them were justified, some of them weren't. You know, sometimes in the past, say if you cheated in a marriage in a certain society, killing you was justified. You know, it was expected. So, you know, there were things like that that came up. So I wasn't entirely a victim. Okay, I mean, I had done things to bring things on, evidently. But the whole point is that instead of going and taking a Xanax or, you know, entering into years of traditional psychotherapy, which of course would probably do nothing for that because you wouldn't be able to identify the source of the fear. We need to have a whole nother understanding of, you know, what these panic attacks are. In my patients who are having them, I believe it's a lot of energy coming out that needs to be released. So I work on holotropic breath work. I work on different techniques with spiritual emergency releasing, you know, using energy medicine to release blockages so that the physical symptoms, which are often neurological, are released. And instead of ordering $5,000 worth of tests, which are going to be negative, or sending people to neurologists or, you know, for physical workups, they're all going to be negative. You have to realize what we're talking about. We're talking about blocked energy trying to come up, and it can be very painful.
Yes.
And that's how what I felt your book was so valuable. You have developed a physical release mechanism that doesn't even, it's not even important a lot of times to go back and figure out what this energy is. You just figured out how to release it very quickly.
Well, I developed that pretty much as a survival for myself.
Did you?
Because as a psychotherapist,
mm-hmm.
being a psychiatrist, and really being passionate, you know, to do the psychotherapy, I was so distressed when psychiatry became more and more medication,
yeah,
which was
sure.
not what I signed on to do.
Right.
Not only was it more medication, but the managed care coverage for treatment went from 50 minutes once or twice a week for psychotherapy,
mm-hmm.
which I really enjoyed and found helpful to people and
mm-hmm.
to myself. It went down to 15 to 20 minutes once a month.
So you had to come up with something quick.
Well, in that 15 or 20 minutes, I had to do the medication piece.
Right.
And then in whatever time was left, the challenge was to have something that I could offer people
mm-hmm.
by way of psychotherapy. And when I found EMDR, which is eye movement desensitization and
right.
reprocessing,
yeah.
I thought this was just wonderful. It worked marvelously for myself
mm-hmm.
to let go of whatever was distressing me and to let go of early traumas in my life.
Right.
Now, I'm not lucky like you to have the past life awareness or spirit awareness, but I had plenty of what I call peeling the onion to do in this
right.
life. And the EMDR, while it worked for me,
mm-hmm.
was a disappointment when it came to my clients because it worked wonderfully well in my office,
mm-hmm.
but it's recommended, strongly recommended, that people only do it in the therapist's office because it can bring up heavy emotional reactions from the past.
Mm-hmm.
And these could frighten a person or they could even re-traumatize a person.
Right.
So 15 minutes, 20 minutes once a month wasn't enough
mm-hmm.
for me to be helping people with EMDR. And then I found Emotional Freedom Technique,
right.
EFT.
Yeah, we've interviewed the author of that book.
Yeah, and this is a technique that involves a series of acupressure points on the
mm-hmm.
face and on the chest and on the hand. And as you tap the points, and you activate the various meridians,
mm-hmm.
the energy lines through the body,
mm-hmm.
you say an affirmation that reprograms the mind around whatever the trauma is. And again, I was
mm-hmm.
so pleased with that because it helped me again, and it helped the people I was working with.
Mm-hmm.
But yet again, there was a disappointment because, for one thing, there's a long series of acupressure points that you have to tap on.
Mm-hmm.
Being a psychiatrist, I tended to get the people who had more severe problems, and they would have panic disorders, or they'd have flashbacks from PTSDs,
mm-hmm.
Or obsessive compulsive problems, and they would get distressed, and then they wouldn't remember the long series
mm-hmm.
of acupressure points that they needed to tap
right.
on,
right.
and they'd get frustrated, and they'd say, well, you know, it's not working, I'm not going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Where I had children who had ADHD,
mm-hmm.
and from the start, you know, they just didn't have the patience for
right.
this long procedure. And then the children and some of the adults would also complain that they were embarrassed to do it in front of their friends, because
mm-hmm.
if you're tapping on your face and your hand, it looks kind of odd to someone who doesn't know what's going on.
Right.
And kids can be really pretty brutal with each other
mm-hmm.
when you know they're uncomfortable with what's going on. So these kids would get teased
mm-hmm.
on top of being upset over something. And again, they just wouldn't use it. And then I was at a conference with a very wise colleague, excuse me,
mm-hmm.
Named Asha Clinton. And I was moaning to her about how frustrated I was, and she said, well, all you need to do is use these two eyebrow points. And she just tapped the right and the left eyebrow
mm-hmm.
back and forth. And as she was doing that, I looked at her and I said, but that's EMDR. That's not EFT.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we was born.
Great.
We use the holistic, spelled with a W,
mm-hmm.
hybrid,
mm-hmm.
derived from EMDR and EFT.
Great.
So I brought pieces of each of them together into what's turned out to be such a powerful technique. It's just exceeded all my expectations. First of all, it's easy to use, so
mm-hmm.
people do use it.
Right.
And they remember how to use it when they need it.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, children can learn it in just a few minutes, and they go home and they teach their brothers and sisters
mm-hmm.
and classmates, for that matter. And they'll use it whenever needed, like for a nightmare, or they're sitting in their timeout chair,
mm-hmm.
getting over being angry or upset
mm-hmm.
over something. Or they might have a post-traumatic stress disorder,
mm-hmm.
so they're getting triggered into anger or fear
mm-hmm.
by something that triggers their memory from the past. And the fascinating thing to me is that it works even better when a person connects whatever's happening in the present that's upsetting
mm-hmm.
them with something that happened from the past.
Right.
It's like both of those things are sitting in the same file drawer.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you open the file drawer to release whatever is upsetting you in the present, there sit all the other things from the past, including past life memories for
right.
some people.
Mm-hmm.
And so the we
mm-hmm.
can bundle all of it. You can say, for instance, even though I'm afraid of this person who's angry, and this reminds me of when my father was angry at me, and it also reminds me of this past life where such and such happened that I was afraid, and you can clear all of them at once.
So can you describe a little bit about the method?
Sure. What I've done sometimes is to on air, you know, demonstrate if there's a volunteer around who would be willing, you know, to talk about something that bothers them, and I can show how it works. But I can also talk about it if you want.
Well, let's see. I mean, I can be a volunteer.
Great.
If you would like that.
You could take something, you know, simple
yeah.
like fear.
Well,
I can take
a recurring theme that it is something in my life that is I guess something I'm working on. And
okay.
it's interesting because when we're in surgery, we do long surgeries, you know, 10-12 hour surgeries, and during surgery we sometimes look things up that I don't because I'm operating, but the people in the room do. And so they looked up my name because we were doing everybody's name in the room. And Susan means she who is falsely accused.
Oh, my goodness.
So I've had a series of absolutely ridiculous false accusations. And they are so off the wall ridiculous, and yet it's repeated. You know, it's, and when things come to you in life that you see again, I don't know if you know Michael Rice, but he wrote a book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And
yeah.
that's Michael and I are close friends. I think that when things come again, you need to pay attention to them.
Absolutely.
So let's start with the idea that my name, which, you know, is my essence, she who is falsely accused.
Okay. So when you think about that,
mm-hmm.
What sort of feelings do you have about it?
I have a feeling in my stomach of tightening. You know, it's like a threat. Energy coming toward me that is might
right.
even hurt me and might even kill me.
And so is there some fear attached to it also?
Mm-hmm.
An
annoyance that people are so dumb. You know, that people are so petty.
Yes. And that they can't appreciate what you're sensing.
Well, you know, yeah, but just that there's so much important work to do. There's so many sick people. There's so many things that are so important, and they're wasting time on false accusations.
Yes.
I mean, that's petty to me. It's stupid. It's, you know, if they have a question, why don't they just ask me? I'll give them an answer. I'm very direct. I don't, you know, I don't like politics. I don't like people insinuating things. I just want, you know, if you misunderstand me, ask me the question. I'll explain it. I'm a good communicator. I have a radio and TV show. I don't beat around the bush.
So when you think about this,
mm-hmm.
what would you rate the intensity of the feelings? If 10 is the worst it could possibly be at this moment,
mm-hmm.
and 0, it's not bothering you at all.
I'd say it's 7 right now.
Oh, good. The more intense it is,
mm-hmm.
the more space there is for me to demonstrate how well this can work.
Okay.
Are you on a handheld phone or a hand-free phone?
Handheld.
So if you take your free hand...
Mm-hmm.
and you alternate tapping on the right and left eyebrow, back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be right, left, just a single tap on each side.
Right.
And as you're doing that, just repeat after me, even though I feel.
Even though I feel.
And name the feelings.
Attacked by false accusation.
And my emotional reaction is?
Annoyance and fear.
And my body sensation is?
Tightening in the solar plexus.
And I've had this repeatedly.
Yes, I've had this repeatedly.
Over how long?
Probably 8 years. Ten years.
Okay. And are you comfortable saying, and I still love and accept myself?
And I still love and accept myself. I've always loved and accepted myself.
Okay.
That's
wholly
not a problem for me.
Okay, wholly and completely.
Wholly and completely.
And do you feel comfortable saying God loves and accepts me, or the Creator, or something
yes,
like that?
Yes, God loves and accepts me.
Wholly and completely.
Wholly and completely.
And unconditionally.
And unconditionally.
And you take a nice deep breath, and as you exhale... After the deep breath, you let go of the tapping, and you ask yourself, okay, how strong is it now?
It's a 3.
Wow, from a 7 to a 3, that's
mm-hmm.
cool.
Yeah.
I've worked with lots of people who aren't as sensitive as you, and you know, they might be even more afraid of whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
and afraid to let go of it. And so they'd go from a 7 to a 6.28,
mm-hmm.
and then to a 5.91,
mm-hmm.
Just gradually going down.
Right. Well, I want to release this.
From a 7 to a 3, that's really good.
Right.
Now,
I just want to get it out of my field. I think it's just, you know,
okay.
it's just so unnecessary.
Okay, so let's now take another step and again, do the tapping.
Okay.
And even though I feel...
Even though I feel, I guess, attacked from false accusation.
And my emotional reaction is...
And my emotional reaction is one of irritation and, I don't know, kind of disappointment. I think disappointment that people are so petty.
Right. And any fear left over?
More just irritation.
Irritation?
Fear, yeah.
And the earliest time you can remember this is when?
It was about, I think it was around 2000. That's about almost 10
and
years.
And can you describe that first memory you have of this?
Yeah, a series of employees, actually falsely accused my manager, but then some of it bled over to me. I mean, a ridiculous false accusation. And the insurance company settles everything. You know, you can accuse somebody of anything, and the insurance company will give you money. And it's an annoyance with that system.
Yes.
that behavior is rewarded.
Right. And so when you think about that first time, mm-hmm. do you have any different feelings in addition?
Just disappointment. And I guess because I understand karma and because I understand the spiritual world and how that works, and maybe these individuals don't, although one of them claimed to, I think that it's all going to be taken care of. It's all going to be, I mean, their lessons will be severe in this.
Mm-hmm.
I keep, but it was a waste of time. It was a waste of energy.
Yeah.
It took me away from patient care. It took me away from
okay.
things that I needed to do. I was working on cancer, you know.
Now, from the little you've told me, though,
mm-hmm.
it sounds to me like there's also a sense of betrayal in there.
Oh, absolutely. These are people who I taught, I paid well, I paid for them to go to conferences. You know, these are people that should know better.
How strong is the sense of betrayal?
Big.
What number?
Eight.
Eight, okay.
Yeah.
So that's probably a part of it, and a part that's what I call emotional pus that's festering.
Right, it is.
So let's bring that in also, okay?
Okay?
So even though I feel betrayed.
Even though I feel betrayed.
And some of these feelings of betrayal go back 8 or 10 years.
And some of these feelings of betrayal go back 8 to 10 years.
And you mentioned some past lives where you were betrayed pretty badly.
Right.
Do you want to bundle those in, too?
Yes.
So when you think about any of those, are there any outstanding that have a lot of feeling attached to them?
There were some lives associated with the Inquisition.
And so
false accusation, you know, the false trial,
yeah.
the burning at the stake or whatever method.
So how strong are the feelings that
they're
you
very
get?
Strong.
Like what number?
I'd say 8 or 9.
Okay. And so actually you're demonstrating what I was talking about in
mm-hmm.
the collective consciousness, carrying things from way back.
Oh, yeah. Well, energy is neither created nor destroyed, so
okay.
if you don't release
are you still tapping, though?
Right, I am.
Okay.
I'm tapping.
So let's put it all together. So even
okay.
though I have these, you know, name the feelings from
even
the current
Even though I
time.
Have these feelings of betrayal, disappointment, fear, and feeling that it's such a waste of time. There's so many things that need to be done here, and it's so petty.
And these feelings go back, way back in past lives as well.
Oh, yes, they do. They've
and just acknowledge that, you know.
And these feelings go back into past lives where I was falsely accused, judged in kangaroo courts, and then punished.
And tortured.
Tortured, yes.
And killed.
Killed, yes.
And I can still feel these feelings from way back then.
Yes, I can.
And I've carried them for how long?
Who knows?
for centuries.
For centuries, yes. Right.
And so these have been a part of me.
Yes.
You know, just acknowledge.
These feelings have been a part of me.
And they manifested in this life.
And they manifested in this life.
As an invitation for me to clear them.
As an invitation for me to clear them.
As these sorts of feelings often do.
As these sorts of feelings often do.
But until now, I've still held on to them.
But until now, I've still held on to them.
And there may be a part of me that feels I need to hold on to them.
And there may be a part of me that feels I need to hold on to them.
Do you resonate with that?
Yeah.
Can you say anything about it?
Let's see. I guess it's the part of me that still believes that there's something out there. You know,
that might be out to get you.
Well, something other than me that could get me.
Right. Okay.
You know, I mean, you understand in spiritual growth that you begin to realize that nothing out there is real. It's a projection
yeah.
of what you need to clear. So,
yes.
yeah, I've studied the Course in Miracles and, you know, done the exercises. So,
but there's still a part of you that's anxious
exactly.
that if you give up the fear,
right?
Then what?
the lower vibrations in me still believe that I can be injured.
Okay. And I still love and accept myself.
And I still love and accept myself.
Wholly and completely.
Wholly and completely.
And God loves and accepts me.
And God loves and accepts me.
Wholly and completely.
Wholly and completely.
And unconditionally.
And unconditionally.
And a nice deep breath. And as you exhale, you stop tapping your eyebrows.
Mm-hmm.
And ask yourself, okay, what number am I at now?
2.
That's 2 for the current feelings?
Mm-hmm.
And how about for the past feelings that were up, way up?
Probably around 4. There's a lot more pain and suffering back there.
Wow. But to go down to a 4,
yeah.
What number did you start at for the old feelings?
8.
8?
Yeah.
That's wonderful. You are marvelously sensitive.
Yeah.
I've done
a lot of releasing work. I believe in it. I think it's very important.
And so, we could continue here, but rather than do this on air, maybe I could just talk a little bit more about the different, nuances of what you've been, wonderfully brave and open in demonstrating.
Well, I just want to get it out of my life because it's interfering with what I need to do. Every time I have to fight these battles and defend myself, it's like crazy. Yeah.
Do you feel comfortable that you could do this on your own?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do.
Okay. So let me just share with you some of the ways that this has been helpful, that you've, partly demonstrated here.
Mm-hmm.
The first is that when we stop running away from our fears and stop holding on to our fears and our negative feelings, feelings of betrayal, feelings of depression or anger or hurt, and when we do this right and left tapping on the body, and when we say an affirmation that invites the clearing, our mind will just let go of it.
Right.
And it really is deeply and permanently cleared. When it gets all the way down to 0, and when we keep doing it, it will do that. It will go down and down and down to 0. Then we turn it around and we install a positive to replace the negative. And so if I were doing something over a past life, I might come to a place of saying, and what I'm saying is for me, each person has to find their own statement. I might say, goodness, I had some really tough lessons and I'm much wiser now for having had these lessons. And I can be much more empathetic and helpful to people who have problems because I'll really understand them since I've had these problems myself and I've worked on clearing my problems. And I might say, I believe that about a 3 out of 10.
Okay.
So then I could say all that and add, and I love and accept myself, wholly and completely, etc. The positive statement that I made will get stronger and stronger, just like the negative statement got weaker and weaker. Once I've put in a positive, then the negative is much less likely to come back.
Right, that's true.
Although it could get triggered, there might be something in my file drawer that I've missed, or there might be another file drawer that has another piece of it that I didn't look at, like I mentioned the word betrayal to you, and that opened another file drawer.
Right, it did.
Where we were first just talking about, feeling, what was it?
Disappointment.
Disappointment and anxious.
This is a waste of time.
Waste of time. And so you might find another file drawer yet, and since you now know the method, you can just use it on that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the thing that I found that people most respond to is pain, physical pain.
They want to get rid of it.
Yeah, because it's so unpleasant. And the body really serves us well in that way.
Mm-hmm.
The body, when we have pain, is speaking to us from our unconscious mind
mm-hmm.
about something that our unconscious mind wants us to know.
Mm-hmm.
On my website, the www.paintap.com,
mm-hmm.
I've got links that explain a lot of what I've been talking about, and I have links to a video, a YouTube video, of a businessman who had pain in his shoulder
mm-hmm.
for 4 years. It was a frozen shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
He'd been advised to have surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Being a businessman and being rather astute, he asked a lot of questions, including, what's the chance that this could get worse instead of better?
Right.
At which point the surgeon confessed that, well, there's a 30% chance it could get worse.
Right.
So he declined to have the
right.
surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And just talking with his pain,
mm-hmm.
just asking it what it wanted to tell him, it went mm-hmm. from a level 8
mm-hmm.
down to a level 3.
Mm-hmm.
Then he was able to use the tapping, the back and forth, to bring mm-hmm. it down even further. So pain, most often, is a message.
Mm-hmm.
And when we start listening to it, then it diminishes, because then our unconscious mind doesn't have to turn the screw as tight
yeah.
to get us to pay attention.
And shoulder pain often has to do with responsibility, over-responsibility.
Yes.
So.
Exactly. This man felt that he had responsibility as a child
mm-hmm.
that he was still carrying bad mm-hmm. feelings about.
Right.
And that too got released in the
mm-hmm.
process.
Yeah.
So we start with a physical pain, but very quickly we get to what's behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than killing the pain with medications or with surgery, fighting the pain, which is the,
mm-hmm.
the idea that conventional medicine has, if we listen to the pain, if we get to the roots of the pain, it no longer has to bother us.
Right. And people's intuition can help them with that.
Yes.
People who are can use dream state work or
yes.
In meditation, the answer can come. And
yes.
People often have a sense, at least my patients often have a sense of why they have their problem. And when we work on them, like the other day I had a patient who was very, justifiably so, very upset at his neighbor who had sexually abused his daughter when she was around 6. And that occurred many years ago, but his holding on to that had definitely caused an immune deficiency with
yes.
and a whole
yes.
host of physical problems that finally we got back to the the core issue. And doctors can't understand that yes, there is an immune deficiency. I had labs that showed he had an immune deficiency, but if there's no physical reason for the immune deficiency, if there's no, chemical toxins or heavy metal toxicity or viral infections or whatever, fungal infections, then you have to keep going into the mind-body connection and find out why. And
well,
I do chakra diagnosis, and I found, I saw his chakra was shut down. It was reversed over his mind.
My experience is that even when there is a physical cause, many
mm-hmm.
times it triggered emotional reaction.
Right, yeah.
I edit the International Journal of Healing and Caring,
mm-hmm.
which is a peer-reviewed online journal at www.ijhc.org.
Mm-hmm.
And in the May issue, we have an article from a woman who had scleroderma.
Right.
Now,
yeah.
this is an apparently autoimmune disease
mm-hmm.
where the person's skin
tightens.
Starts to thicken and their
right.
connective tissues throughout
mm-hmm.
their body thickens. And in severe cases, their
mm-hmm.
organs will stop working because there's thickening
right.
there, too. This woman discovered that her breast implants, her latex breast implants,
mm-hmm.
seem to have triggered
well,
some
does.
Of this reaction. And so
that's
she
my
removed
specialty.
Them.
Yeah, that's my specialty.
And she had, some relief,
mm-hmm.
but the scleroderma was still continuing,
mm-hmm.
and it was getting to the point where she couldn't swallow. Her
right.
esophagus was getting thickened.
Right.
And then she discovered emotional freedom technique, and she started clearing mm-hmm. emotions
mm-hmm.
that were related to the disease.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a medically incurable disease. A disability physician granted her the disability
mm-hmm.
and gave her the death sentence that she would live only 2 months to 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And she took that as a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of dying, she found EFT and she cured herself mm-hmm. of the scleroderma. She had reached the point where her skin was so thick they couldn't give her an injection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She couldn't move her joints because the skin would prevent her doing it.
Right.
She could barely walk 10 feet,
mm-hmm.
and she reversed all that.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that she really enjoyed reversing was being able to smile again.
Right. Yeah, that's very important. I've had about 35 patients who had
scleroderma
reversed after.
And then she ended up sending me not only her article, but she sent some photos
mm-hmm.
before and after.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the after photos is she's taken a 2-mile hike up a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just see, the
mm-hmm.
complete change
right.
in her whole being
right.
using this mind-body technique.
Yeah. Well, we're coming up on the last few minutes. Would you like to give your contact information one more time?
Certainly. Thank you. The website is www.paintap.com, where you'll find a lot about my book, which is
mm-hmm.
7 minutes to natural pain relief. And you can order that from the website with free postage,
mm-hmm.
Or it's available on Amazon as well.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the other website, the International Journal of Healing and Caring, where
mm-hmm.
we have exciting articles, like I mentioned,
right.
on different self-healing techniques. That's
mm-hmm.
www.ijhc.org. And you'll find email contact information there where you can contact me directly
mm-hmm.
or phone contact.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy to hear how people are doing when they use these methods or
right.
to answer questions about how to use them.
Well, we really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today. And I think the method's fabulous, and I have been using it on my patients and plan to continue to do so. Thank you so much.
And thank you very much for inviting me.
We have a couple of announcements. Next week we're interviewing the author of The Soul Purpose, as well as the founder of Penta Water, things that you can do to help detoxification and your health, cellular health. And then on the next Saturday, the 2nd of May, we're interviewing Dr. Judith Orloff on her book, Emotional Freedom. And in May, we have the Noetic Science Meeting at the Dunwoody office. And our guest speaker will be Mickey Buckland, and he has written a book, The Life of an Intuitive Growing Up Clairvoyant, a book about life path. Both of these speakers, Buckley and the author of The Soul Purpose, David Riley, are talking about how you can discover what is going to fulfill you in this life. I mean, how you get to your soul's purpose and your life path, which I think is a critical issue for many, many people at this particular point in time. And again, thank you for joining us. We've been talking with Dr. Daniel Benor, 7 Minutes to Natural Pain Relief, a wonderfully simple method for helping not only emotional relief, but relief of physical ailments as well. Thank you very much, Dr. Benor. I appreciate talking to you and having you help me with my little issue.
And thank you for being so wonderfully open to demonstrate this on air.
Great. This is Temple of Health Radio Show. Join us next week.
So you had plastic surgery. What was it like?
It was great. Don't get me wrong. It was surgery, but the doctors and staff at Plastico's were terrific.
Honey, you look like $1 million. You actually went to Plastico's and had it done.
Why don't you? Plastic surgery is outpatient, and you'll only be out of work a few days. I love what Plastico's did for me, and looking my best is an investment that pays in so many ways. The help you get from the professionals at Plastico's is a bargain.
Plastico's, 770-457-4677. Mention this ad for a free consultation. Financing is available. 770-457-4677. Headaches, back pain, migraines, joint pain, nothing worse than the nagging, unending discomfort of daily aches and pains. If you have pain and are looking for more natural solutions to eliminate your pain, Millennium Healthcare is for you. Millennium Healthcare's professionals will work for you. For help or more information on natural pain relief, call Millennium Healthcare at 770-390-0012. That's 770-390-0012. Millennium Healthcare. Pain relief naturally. You had plastic surgery, Bill?
You bet I did. I got tired of the wrinkles around my eyes and decided to have Plasticos do something about them.
But I didn't think men had plastic surgery.
Get with it, Bob. Men want to look their best, too. There's nothing wrong with getting a little help from Plasticos to look on top of your game. A lot of guys are doing it, my friend.
Well, I don't know about this.
Look, you see the difference Plasticos made with me. I look better and I feel better. My Plasticos surgery was an investment in me.
So where is Plasticos?
Plasticos is in Dunwoody. Plasticos is staffed by pros who guarantee you personal attention. The Plasticos number is 770-457-4677. Mention this ad for a free consultation. Financing is available. 770-457-4677.
Don't you just hate trying on bathing suits? Wait a minute, you look great. Plastic surgery?
Not surgery. I got an endermology treatment from the experts at Plasticos.
What's endermology?
Endermology is the terrific non-surgical treatment that Europeans have been using for years to tone skin and contour the body. Endermology by Plasticos feels great, and you can see the difference it makes.
No kidding. Who do I call?
Plasticos, a leader in plastic and reconstructive surgery, is the number one center in Atlanta offering endermology. For more information and a complimentary consultation and treatment, call Plasticos at 770-457-4677. Plasticos Endermology Skin Toning and Body Contouring, 770-457-4677.